I went to the Grammys last year and I did the red carpet and no one knew who I was.
I think that gay marriage is an alteration of the definition of marriage, and the United States Supreme Court does not have the authority, or the federal courts do not have the authority, to interpret a word that disputes the Constitution.
If you want to see marriage equality in Ireland, then you are the Yes Campaign.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordy. Disinterest defeats a homophobic Slovakian referendum. Alabama's top judge stands in the wedding chapel doors. And more from single Sam and his lonely Grammy quadruplets. Those stories and a lot more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 14th, 2015. The low turnout in a Slovakia referendum on February 7th doomed a measure that would have virtually legalized discrimination against LGBT people in the Central European country. A petition by the Alliance for Family, a right-wing group that gathered about 400,000 more signatures than needed, required the government to schedule the public vote. The referendum contained three questions. One asked voters if they agreed that no other cohabitation of persons other than a union between one man and one woman can be called marriage. The second asked if they agreed that same-sex couples or groups shall not be permitted to adopt and subsequently raise children. The third would have forced schools to make sex education optional if the child's parents objected. There were billboards across the heavily Roman Catholic country promoting yes votes with the picture of a smiling thumbs-up Pope Francis. 90% of those who went to the polls voted yes, but at least 50% of the country's registered voters are required to pass a referendum in Slovakia, and only about 21% of the nation's voters bothered to show up.
But Italy's highest court ruled this week that the country's constitution does not require opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. The Cassation Court did say that lesbian and gay couples in Italy should have the same rights as unmarried heterosexual couples. Some local officials, including Rome's city council and Mayor Ignazio Marino, have created civil union registries for same-gender couples, including couples who have legally married abroad, despite specific edicts forbidding that from the country's interior ministry.
Greece's new government announced this week that it would propose legislation to open civil unions to same-gender couples. They've been available only to heterosexual couples since 2008. The European Court of Human Rights ruled in 2013 that the exclusion of gay and lesbian couples from the Greek civil unions law was discriminatory and ordered the country to pay damages to the four same-gender couple plaintiffs. The left-wing Syriza party swept to power in national elections earlier this month. Resistance within the government to opening civil unions to same-gender couples seems likely, however. Syriza's coalition partner, the right-wing Greek Independent Party, has actively opposed LGBT rights.
Officials in the Shibuya district of Tokyo announced plans this week to issue partnership certificates to same-gender couples. Even though they won't be legally binding, if the draft statute passes the municipal assembly in early March, it will be the first time that any government entity in Japan has recognized lesbian and gay couples. The Shibuya district is home to many international companies and is considered one of Japan's major business centers. Mayor Toshitaki Kuwahara called the proposal part of our drive to create a society that respects people regarded as a sexual minority. Japan's constitution defines marriage as exclusively heterosexual. Wataru Ishizaka, an openly gay district assembly member in a different part of Tokyo, told the New York Times that, "We are behind the rest of the world, but this is a first step."
In other news, a New Jersey Superior Court judge has issued the first decision in the United States declaring that homosexuality is not a disease or a disorder. The February 10th ruling by Hudson County Judge Peter Bariso Jr. said that marketers of so-called conversion, reparative, or change therapy are violating the state's Consumer Fraud Act by claiming that homosexuality is a disorder that can be cured. He also called it fraudulent to offer success statistics because there is no factual basis for calculating such statistics. The consumer fraud lawsuit filed by the Southern Poverty Law Center against one such change business accused it of using deceptive practices to lure plaintiffs into its gay-to-straight therapy at a cost of more than $10,000 a year. David Danielli, the center's deputy legal director, called the ruling monumental and devastating to the conversion therapy industry.
But the Republican-controlled U.S. House of Representatives, Education, and the Workforce Committee voted strictly along party lines this week, 21-15, to reject two proposals intended to protect LGBT students. They were amendments to a bill reauthorizing the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, the country's major law covering public schools from kindergarten to grade 12. The Student Non-Discrimination Act, sponsored in the House by out-gay Colorado Representative Jared Polis and by Minnesota ally Al Franken in the Senate, would have barred bias against students in public schools based on actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. The Safe Schools Improvement Act would have denied federal funding to school districts that refused to adopt codes of conduct that specifically banned bullying based on race, color, national origin, religion, gender, disability, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Infamously, homophobic Republican committee member Virginia Fox of North Carolina, who once called the brutal gay-bashing murder of Wyoming college student Matthew Shepard a hoax, objected to the amendments, claiming that they were not germane to the larger bill. Chairman John Klein of Minnesota agreed, and the committee voted to reject them.
Several U.S. states with Republican-controlled legislatures and governors are doing their best to push LGBT people back into the closet. According to the ACLU, so-called religious freedom bills to exempt people from complying with non-discrimination laws based on their sincerely held religious beliefs are percolating in at least eight U.S. states: Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, New Hampshire, Tennessee, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. In fact, Arkansas lawmakers have already passed a measure to prohibit cities and counties from enacting anti-bias laws that protect LGBT people, because no state laws do that. Governor Asa Hutchinson released a statement this week saying that he would not sign the bill, which will automatically allow it to become law. "I recognize the desire to prevent burdensome regulations on businesses across the state," he wrote. "However, I am concerned about the loss of local control. For that reason, I am allowing the bill to become law without my signature." Some Arkansas equality activists are criticizing national LGBT rights groups for failing to mount any major campaigns against the legislation.
But America's first openly bisexual governor is preparing to lead the people of Oregon. Secretary of State Kate Brown, who's constitutionally next in line, will take over from Governor John Kitzhaber, who announced his resignation on February 13th over charges that he unethically arranged well-paying government jobs for his fiancée. Kate Brown's political career began in 1991 with her appointment to a vacant state House seat. She was previously a lobbyist for the Women's Rights Coalition. She's been Secretary of State since 2008 and is considered to be more progressive than fellow Democrat Kitzhaber. Brown told reporters that, "This is a sad day for Oregon, but I am confident that legislators are ready to come together to move Oregon forward." One of the legislators she'll be working with is House Speaker Tina Kotek, an out lesbian. Brown was expected to run for governor in 2018 after Kitzhaber finished his term. But under Oregon law, she won't be serving out his full term. Brown will have to run for governor in the next general election next year.
And finally, another U.S. governor has made news this week.
From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Political satirist Jon Stewart has announced that he's leaving the anchor desk at Comedy Central's The Daily Show before the end of the year. He reminded us again this week, especially in times like these, how much we'll miss the LGBT ally.
"As you know, our country's been making very positive strides in LGBT equality, but don't worry, Kansas is trying to fix that."
In Kansas, Governor Sam Brownback has issued an executive order to remove legal protections for gay, lesbian, and transgender employees. That means state workers can now legally be fired, harassed, or denied a job based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
There you go. In Kansas, it was not legal for state employees to be fired or harassed because they were gay. And Governor Sam Brownback thought, I need to rectify that. I can get in trouble for firing or harassing a lesbian? This cannot stand. And it being Kansas, I guess Brownback clicked his heels 3 times and said, there's no place like homophobia.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 14th, 2015. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
After the thank you speeches and the after parties, out UK crooner Sam Smith woke his newborn Grammy quadruplets and headed to the Ellen DeGeneres show. Smith's babies are named Best New Artist, Best Pop Vocal Album for In the Lonely Hour, and Song of the Year and Record of the Year for...
I just want to say that before I made this record, I was doing everything to try and get my music heard. I tried to lose weight and I was making awful music. And it was only until I started to be myself that the music started to flow and people started to listen. So thank you guys for accepting me to be just me. I want to thank the man who this record is about, who I fell in love with last year. Thank you so much for breaking my heart because you got me 4 Grammys.
Portia and I were so excited to see you win. And, I mean, four of them.
I know, it's ridiculous. They're so heavy as well.
They are.
It's unreal. I genuinely didn't think this was going to happen. It's incredible. I keep spontaneously crying.
Yeah.
I started crying in the shower this morning, like, oh, my God.
Well, I mean, because it's happened so quickly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
A year ago, we really didn't know who you were.
Yeah, and I went to the Grammys last year, and I did the red carpet, and no one knew who I was.
Yeah.
It's all very weird. My life's changed.
We gave you the toilet brush cleaner,
yes.
Like a gold toilet brush cleaner.
Which is in my
because
house.
You were actually, is it?
Yes.
Because you were like cleaning toilets.
It was a bar back, so I had to like clean glasses, and every 20 minutes I had to clean people's crap.
Right.
Can I say that on TV?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And I love that you thank the man that broke your heart because
yes.
You won 4 Grammys.
yes.
That's when anyone has their heart broken, you're like, oh, I'll show them.
I just find it funny, you know, such a sad record and such a sad experience has turned out to be a very happy one.
Yep. So this guy that broke your heart, he knows who he is, right?
He does.
He does.
Yes.
But now are you dating someone?
I'm not. I was recently, but I split up with them about 3 weeks ago. I couldn't bring out In the Lonely Hour and go to the Grammys with someone. You know, I had to be lonely for the Grammys.
I see.
Singer-songwriter Sam Smith celebrated his 4 Grammy triumph with Ellen DeGeneres.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
Marriage is in the air and coming up at the ballot box in Ireland, but first it's in print.
I wonder who wrote the book of love?
Marriage equality in real-life drama and lifelike fiction is at the center of 2 new books reviewed by This Way Out commentator Janet Mason.
Redeeming the Dream by David Boies and Theodore B. Olson, and All I Love and Know, a novel by Judith Frank, are 2 books that put marriage equality into perspective. Redeeming the Dream, The Case for Marriage Equality, Viking 2014, tells the reader how 2 establishment lawyers, 1 liberal, 1 conservative, David Boies and Theodore B. Olson, decided to work together to defeat Proposition 8, a history-making case that ended up at the Supreme Court of the United States, along with Edith Windsor's landmark case against DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. The book, complete with photographs, is a good primer on the history of U.S. LGBT rights, as well as a compelling read about the behind-the-scenes context of this historic legal battle. Another central argument is that everyone has a right to marry. The authors cite Loving v. Virginia, the landmark case decided by the Supreme Court in 1967, which struck down laws against interracial marriage as a legal precedent. Loving had confirmed that marriage was a fundamental right, and that the 14th Amendment prohibited states from infringing on an individual's right to marry without a sound basis. The opposition contended that marriage is for the purpose of procreation. Supreme Court Justice Alana Kagan responded by asking about the constitutionality of denying the right to marry to heterosexuals over the age of 55. She said, "No, really, because I can assure you if both the woman and the man are over the age of 55, there are not a lot of children coming out of that marriage. And the rest, as they say, is history." All I Love and Know, a novel by Judith Frank HarperCollins, 2014, explores the lives of a gay male couple who unexpectedly become parents when one of the character's brother, who lives in Israel with his wife, was killed along with his wife by a suicide bomber. The brother and his wife had previously made arrangements for the gay brother and his partner to become the guardians of their two children, an infant boy and a little girl with a developing and edgy personality. In addition to dealing with their own tragic loss, the two men are suddenly faced with the reality of becoming parents. The novel is multi-layered, the writing is illuminating and compelling, and takes up the issue of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and the issue of gay marriage doesn't come up until late in the story. However, the two men continually face the issue of homophobia. The non-Jewish partner of the man whose brother was killed does his best to become a good parent and is, in fact, a natural. But a rift develops between them based, in part, on the discounting of their relationship. It is a novel about many things, but mostly it is about family, including the legal ties that bind a family. The novel is set in Israel and Northampton, Massachusetts, at the same time that Massachusetts is the first U.S. state to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. At the risk of revealing too much, I will say that the little girl with a very big personality is thrilled that these two men can get married. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure for This Way Out. Sweet home,
lesbian and gay couples began civilly marrying in parts of the great state of Alabama on February 9th after the U.S. Supreme Court let a stay of District Judge Callie Granati's ruling overturning Bama's ban expire. That prompted State Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore to stand in the proverbial wedding chapel doors, ordering local probate judges not to follow the federal edict. The ensuing chaos was chronicled by Jon Stewart on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, attorney Ted Olson on MSNBC's Morning Joe, and law professor Kenji Yoshino on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow Show.
Same-sex couples began getting licenses in Alabama after a federal judge 2 weeks ago struck down a state ban on gay marriage there.
Now, the state of Alabama did ask the United States Supreme Court to grant a stay on any gay marriages while the decision is being appealed.
Just within the last couple of minutes, the Supreme Court, apparently by a vote of 7-2, declined to grant that stay. Justices Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas said the Supreme Court should have granted Alabama's request to put that ruling on hold.
But it doesn't matter how those guys feel because the stay was not granted. Unless you don't happen to have a state Supreme Court justice who somehow thinks he outranks the federal Supreme Court.
I think that gay marriage is an alteration of the definition of marriage, and the United States Supreme Court does not have the authority, or the federal courts do not have the authority, to interpret a word that disputes the Constitution.
Chief Justice Roy Moore of the Alabama Supreme Court ordered the state's probate judges not to issue marriage licenses,
telling them that they didn't have to follow a federal judge's ruling declaring the state's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional.
To an Alabama official circumventing a federal ruling in order to restrict the civil rights of a minority population. Well, Judge Moore Moore is making an old states' rights case.
When the Supreme Court meets, I believe states' rights is going to be a big part of this. And I don't believe they have the right to push upon the state a definition which this state does not recognize, indeed which the United States Constitution does not recognize.
You wouldn't happen to have other less legalish reasons to do this, would you?
I think a redefinition of the word marriage is not found within the powers designated to the federal government. Do they stop with one man and one man, or one woman and one woman? Or do they go to multiple marriages? Or do they go to marriages between men and their daughters, or women and their sons?
It's all in the judge's book. 1,001 things that marriage equality will in no way impact, but still somehow scare the shit out of me, the actual Chief Justice of an American state in 2015. It's a long title that I really fed up, as I was saying.
It does bring up images of Selma, Alabama, and George Wallace denying rights to African-American citizens to go to school or across a bridge.
Winning Prop 8 attorney Ted Olson.
This individual, Chief Justice Moore, defied a Supreme Court order a few years ago when he was told to remove the Ten Commandments from a stone in the court building. And he was ultimately removed from office because of that, defying the Supreme Court, and then he was subsequently elected back, and now he's doing the same thing.
And I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Obviously, there's a lot of historical resonance because it's Alabama saying, you know, we're not gonna do what the federal courts tell us to do. We don't recognize your authority here. Kenji Yoshino is a legal scholar and the Chief Justice Earl Warren Professor of Constitutional Law at NYU. What do you make of the sort of legal chaos that we saw today with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who's been very outspoken on this subject, essentially directing lower court judges in the state to not follow federal law?
No judge of the United States or federal district court has the right to invent the definition of marriage, which is not even contained in the United States Constitution. And that's the problem. We have people going in trying to mandate to the state of Alabama that the sanctity of marriage amendment in our Constitution is wrong, and that's simply not right to do.
And all of those probate judges making different decisions, county by county, whatever, based on whatever they felt was the right thing to do. How do you explain that?
I think it's extremely troubling from a rule of law perspective. What he's saying is it's perfectly fine to disobey a federal, as you said, ruling by a district court judge, so long as it doesn't comport with his interpretation. Remember that he's not a judge in the case.
Usually these things resolve when a federal court tells the state, this is what you're allowed to do and this is what you're not allowed to do. In this case, that has not brought us to the end. The chaos in Alabama today, I mean, punctuated by some very happy people getting married some places.
At a minimum, this will be over in June 2015.
Our rights contained in the Bill of Rights do not come from the Constitution. They come from God.
So biblical law supersedes federal law, which reminds me, what was that state constitutional amendment that Alabama voters passed last year by a huge margin?
Some people refer to Amendment 1 as the Sharia Law Amendment. It would prohibit judges and other state officials from basing any of their decisions on foreign law.
Hmm. Where was the Bible written again? Last time I checked, ancient Galilee is not one of the 50 states or even one of them territories that nobody knows about, which makes it foreign law, the kind of foreign law you've explicitly banned from judicial decisions. You have f***ed yourselves with your own statute.
Those were reactions to the antics of Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore this week on Comedy Central and MSNBC. An ordained non-denominational Alabama minister also made headlines when she was arrested for attempted marrying.
I'm not just fighting this fight for myself and my friends.
And Susan DiPrizio refused to leave an Alabama probate judge's office as she tried to officiate a lesbian couple's wedding. She was actually charged with disorderly conduct, but told the Montgomery Advertiser that
I would love to represent Alabama for the country and for the world so that when they make fun of Alabama like they always do, that they can say there was at least one person who was on the right side of the law, the federal law, which takes precedence.
Oh, Susanna, now, don't you cry for me, for I come from Alabama.
DiPrizio is, at last report, free on $1,000 bail. Judge Granati followed up her original ruling overturning Alabama's ban on marriage equality with a decision in another lawsuit on February 12th, ordering the probate judge in Mobile to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-gender couples. A majority of probate judges have since followed suit. According to the Human Rights Campaign, 82% of the gay and lesbian couples in Alabama who wanted to were getting married in the state by Valentine's Day. Ireland's only openly lesbian senator and her partner have been engaged in the marriage equality struggle for more than a decade. Their Canadian wedding failed to win recognition in Dublin's High Court in 2006. Senator Catherine Zapponi issued this challenge in a video about the upcoming May referendum on the issue.
Why did Anne-Louise and I decide to marry each other? We married each other because we wanted to bind ourselves in law as well as in love. In that one act, we were able to exercise our human freedom for the single most important choice of our lives. So this is why I hope that Irish citizens will say yes, not only for Anne-Louise and I, but especially for young lesbian and gay people who just want to marry the person they choose to love, just like everyone else. So it's important to remember, if you want to see marriage equality in Ireland, then you are the Yes Campaign. It's up to you to talk about why marriage equality is important to you and to answer any questions your friends or family might have with the greatest respect. We must embrace this opportunity to have these conversations, because a question that isn't asked is a doubt that will walk into a polling booth. So to do your part, have the conversations and visit yesequality.ie. I began this journey to equality with my partner Anne-Louise Gilligan over a decade ago, and now marriage equality is on the horizon for Ireland. I can see it. We're rolling up our sleeves one last time, and we hope that you will join us.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, Natalie Peoples, and Janet Mason contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. The Monotones and Lynyrd Skynyrd performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the Estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our listener supporters for making this program possible. Find more news and information about the show and social media links at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on South Ribble Community Radio, Lancashire, England, WNRB, Wausau, Wisconsin, KAOS, Olympia, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.